brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. You know what I always say when this day comes around.
Well, you know, man, I have to say this. Not only thank God it's Friday, but thank God the Republican Convention is done.
I've been thinking the same thing all week.
Right.
Talk about long nightmares. Right?
So it's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Like you said, it's over.
You know, man, I was down there 3 days, and Sandy, they really, with the way they configured downtown, was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I was downtown, and you couldn't get even east of the river. Everything was blocked off. I mean, you know, and you know, they talked about how business was going to thrive, but what everyone kind of sub-predicted happened, which was that there were so many restrictions on movement that most of the downtown businesses were essentially out of reach.
Oh, and not only were they so, Sandy, so what happened was not only with them being out of reach for the convention.
Everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like an island. You know, it's kind of what happens now in today's world with all the security blockades and everything. When they have to shut down an area, it becomes an island.
You know, I the way they had it configured is when you came into the restricted area, you couldn't go back out the restricted area. And so, you know, you could only enter in this one place. And then there were only a couple places that you can exit. But if you made the wrong turn, you had to walk 4 blocks the wrong way.
Yeah.
Before you could get to where you wanted to go.
Well, then I read that a bunch of the delegations set up like field trips, things to do, but almost none of the field trips involved downtown things. So the Utah delegation went to Hubbard Park and Shorewood for their little outing. And, you know, so, you know, it was too bad because I think that it was probably the downtown businesses that suffered. I think everyone else, all the hotels all around the city were thriving. But I think probably the downtown businesses were fucking win.
Well, you know, Sandy, you couldn't, let's say, even if the visitors wanted to go somewhere, they were limited in how, you know, the Ubers and those kind of people could get to them.
Right.
Right. And the amount of Ubers and whatnot were limited downtown. They really didn't encourage vehicle traffic.
No, they had buses. And so buses would pick up delegations and buses would take them places, right?
But right.
That didn't mean downtown necessarily.
Yeah. so anyway, that's over. And, you know, thank God it's over. Let me ask you, Sandy, people reveling on the Republican side and, oh, it's the greatest thing that ever happened and we're all united and we're guaranteed to win the presidency now because – man, was it really great down there? Now, you know, Trump has pulled so far ahead of the Democrats that it's over.
Well, first of all, if you go back in history, there's always a bounce after every convention where the convention most recently held gets a bounce in the polls. Obviously, there's been a bunch of things ongoing with respect to Biden. There's going to be a lot of attention drawn away from the Republicans. It already has been. I'm sure we'll talk today not about the convention yesterday, but about what's going to happen at the Democratic convention and Biden's candidacy, which takes a lot of attention away from the Republicans. But, you know, conventions are pep rallies, okay? And everyone knows that you hold a pep rally on Friday night because that pep doesn't last much past Saturday afternoon. And that's the same thing that's going to happen here. I mean, the pretty soon this convention is going to be in everyone's rearview mirror. The last vision they had of this convention was Donald Trump talking. And I was listening this morning to Luke Vargas of the Wall Street Journal talking about that speech. He had the same reaction that everyone who watched it had, which was the first 15 minutes seemed like Trump was going to move in the direction of, he talked about unity, gave it lip service. Yeah, but the last 75 minutes, this was a speech the length that only Fidel Castro and Vladimir Putin and a couple of other people was all about the same stuff, you know, talking about election getting stolen and the same stuff. So people were reminded, as Vargas from the Wall Street Journal said, people were reminded that this is the guy that ran the White House so chaotically. And so he said he probably left a different flavor in the mouths of those who watched it than was intended.
So it was the greatest, event ever. You listen to the Republicans, the greatest convention ever. It's the greatest convention in history.
Only because it was in Milwaukee, let me
say. Yeah. All right. So, Sandy, let's have at it. And 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, this is Nancy Pelosi yesterday. And this is in today's Washington Post. Pelosi has told House Democrats that Biden may soon be persuaded to exit the race. The former House Speaker has stepped up her behind-the-scenes role in working to persuade the president to bow out of the campaign. Sandy, yesterday we took a few minutes because I only had a few minutes to talk about whether or not President Biden survives. And so people call...
Well, survives as a candidate.
Yeah, yeah, survives as a candidate.
Yeah.
And so there are people who thought that that's cruel, that the Democratic Party owes Joe Biden more than that, that the decision that should be left up to him and his family to make it whenever he feels like it. And I will say to you, as I said to some of the callers and listeners on yesterday, the amount of money that the funders are cutting off from not just Joe Biden, but from the Democratic Party is staggering. You had something to say a little bit about
it. Well, yeah. In fact, people would say, which funders aren't funding? Well, the campaign reported a couple of weeks ago that they thought their funding would be down 50% for the month because of the issues that maybe came out of the debate. But most recently, they said, no, it's going to be down 75. You know, it's going to be down to 25% of our forecasts. They also, the public reporting indicates that grassroots fundraising has about dried up as well. So it isn't a question of what are the names of the people who aren't giving. All you have to look at is the bottom line. What are the amounts that aren't being given? And it's a very, very big amount. I mean, this talk about being fair to Joe Biden, this is all about electability. People are talking about how very, very important it is to defeat Donald Trump, Project 2025, and the things that it stands for. Well, then we ought to be beyond personalities, because we accuse the Republican Party about being about a personality. We shouldn't be about personalities ourselves. This isn't a country club race where if the kid tries hard, he ought to get a ribbon, okay? And what we don't want to get is anything but the blue ribbon, okay? We're going for first here, and second doesn't mean anything, particularly if you get second not only at the presidential level, but what Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff are worried about, which is at the senatorial campaign levels, at the House campaign levels, and in the state house campaigns all around the country. That's why this pressure is building, because electability at the presidential level has a lot to do with electability up and down, okay, up and down the ballot. And so this isn't about not being soft-hearted. This is about being tough-minded, okay? You have to be tough-minded about running who runs for office, and it's got to be all about who is the best candidate to win the election. And Donald Trump has earned a lot of kudos, but one of those kudos is not necessarily the opportunity to run and lose.
You mean Joe Biden?
Joe Biden. I mean, I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, Joe. But What did I say, Donald?
Yeah,
Trump?
You did.
Oh my God!
But that's okay. That's what we understand.
That was kind of Trumpian that I did that.
Right?
Yeah. So you know what he hasn't earned is the opportunity to run again and lose.
You know, Sandy.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Well, but come on. Hey, Sandy, you're human, right?
No.
So it's people, and I said this, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Joe Biden, Sandy, can Joe Biden change the trajectory of the race, let's say, if he stays in it? Is there anything Joe Biden can do to change what Democrats see right now?
Well, I think all you have to do is go forward in time and try and predict to yourself what the news media will be covering and what they'll be saying. And if Joe Biden remains the candidate, the news media will be focused on how infirm he might seem, okay? It won't be about what he's done in the past. That's all been talked about, okay? And what the policy differentials are will be swallowed up by the analysis of the human frailties of both candidates. And the human frailties of Joe Biden are different than the ones of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's human frailties have been on display for almost 10 years now, and everyone understands them, and he still has the nomination, and he still is running on a projected basis on a neck-and-neck race with whoever it is that might run against him. And, you know, Joe Biden's problems are not the capacities he has had in the past to be a capable president or a capable politician. It's all about what the projected capabilities are going forward. And that's what the campaign will be all about if he remains the candidate. And it won't go well. Donald Trump will control the news media and will control the story. If a new candidate is nominated by the Democrats, that new candidate will have 6 weeks at least of constant coverage. It will be all about the new candidate. Donald Trump will have to do cartwheels to get attention. And the kind of cartwheels he'll do will probably be reflective of the things that people don't like about Donald Trump.
So this thought process that it's too late to change, the stream, change, the flow of the stream, is not true.
No, Donald Trump's nightmare tonight is that they pick a new candidate.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And before we took that short hiatus, Sandy and I were talking about what is real.
Well, let me just talk about that music for 1 minute, because I picked it because apparently Donald Trump last night played some Steely Dan. Donald Fagan is apparently one of the performers in Steely Dan, immediately put out a tweet and said, you know, they shouldn't play that song. If they want to play music from that we've done, why don't they do Man with a Tinfoil Hat, which was Todd Rundgren with Fagan in it as well. And that music is their tribute, in quotes, to Donald Trump.
So, and I knew, I was trying to figure out who that sound was announced, Steely Dan. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Chad from Greenfield first. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Yeah, I'm going to do something very rare. I'm going to give Joe Biden credit. He did unite the country. He united Democrats and Republicans together, not wanting him as president anymore. I can't believe he united the country like that. But how ironic is it, Earl, that your whole Sunday stations, people, all the liberal pundits said Donald Trump is going to ruin democracy. Donald Trump is going to ruin democracy. Well, you know what? Joe Biden, people I know voted for him. They want him to be president. He won the delegates fair and square. He won the nomination fair and square. And now your whole Sandy goes, well, the donations are down 75%. So now the rich people and the higher elites, Pelosi and Schumer and all Clooney and all these people are stealing democracy from the Democrats. They're stealing the candidate that won a fair election. They're stealing it. They're stealing the votes. All because of the money and the power. Everything you said President Trump would do, you guys are doing. How ironic is that?
Hey, Chad, I'm sure Sandy wants to have a shot at that.
Well, you're just proof. The proof is in the pudding. You don't want a candidate other than Joe Biden because just what I said, you know, Donald Trump's worst nightmare is that they'll change candidates and go for electability. I presume that a lot of people in the Republican side are holding their nose and deciding to go along with Trump for that very reason, because of apparent electability. So that's what politics is about, picking candidates that might get voted upon by the United States public and get voted into office. It doesn't matter so much how they get selected. What matters is who votes for them in November at the national election. That's when the popularity contest relates to democracy. Party selection is a whole different story.
So Joe Biden wins it fair and square, and you guys are going to seal it. You're going to seal the democracy. People I know voted for Joe Biden. Now, like, well, now he's getting killed. So you go to a car lot and you buy a lemon that everyone said was a good car, and now it's a lemon. You can just return it and get your money back.
Troy, have you ever seen that thing where people put their fingers together and play a little where people play a little tiny violin? That's what people are doing when you talk like this. This is all, you know, the Democratic Party will select its candidate and the Republican Party will select their candidate, and you'll do it how you choose, you know? So that's the way it's going to play.
All right, Chad, thank you for the call. Let's go to Troy from Mount Hope. Good morning to you, Troy. You say what, sir?
So I'm resigned to the fact that this is going to happen, and it's going to have to happen because all our side has been talking about is how Joe Biden can't do the job. So we've set it up where Joe Biden can't do the job. So what happens at the convention when the Gavin Newsom crowd wants their guy and the Gretchen Whitmer people want their person, but it should be Kamala? And how do we reconcile that fight? And do we have time to reconcile that fight?
It's a good question, Troy. Hang on.
Well, I don't think there's an easy answer. I don't think that changing candidates is a guarantee toward winning. I think the reason that people are talking about changing candidates is that not changing candidates seems to be, based on the poll trends and everything else, a guaranteed way to lose. And so now the question is, are you going to try and prospect for a better outcome? And the fact is that if you have I don't think it will turn into a contested convention. I suspect they'll find a mechanism for selecting the candidate that avoids that. But if they don't avoid it, what you can expect is that not 8 million people will watch the convention, or 10 or 12 or whatever small number it was that probably bothered to watch the Republican pep rally, but you'll have tens of millions of people watching the Democratic convention, because it will actually be an important process for selecting a candidate. And after that convention, there are months of time for that candidate to make their point. So, you know, I think we have to be looking forward and try to figure out how this all plays out. And I agree, it could well be complicated. And I think the real question is will it be better to go through a process of trying to find a candidate that might have a better potential for winning, And it isn't the Democrats talking about this that is potentially causing Biden not to be capable of winning. It isn't the discussion. It's everyone's view of what they saw and what they're thinking. You know, this is, there were manifest facts and perceived facts that exist that Joe Biden is having a terrible time overcoming. And, you know, if it was up to people to select someone based on affection or based on past history, I think Joe Biden would be the candidate that people would select. But what people are worrying about is what is the perceived sense and what are the perceived facts out there for the 15, 20, 25% of the American public who are not a part of anyone's base and who are making a decision based on what they see and what they think.
So Troy, and clearly I agree with Sandy 100%. This is not about the fact that people have sold out Joe Biden and they're attacking Joe Biden, and people have somehow conjured this up. And now that we've conjured it up, there's no choice but to make this other call. It's not that. They clearly have seen and witnessed, and not just from the debate, ongoing things. And yes, after the debate, people start focusing even closer on Joe Biden.
Sure. I mean, the press today was a video of Joe Biden getting off the plane after he was diagnosed with COVID. And, you know, it looked very frail. You know, the fact is that's what we'll be watching.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Great, tremendous, amazing, and all that. Cause the man in the tinfoil hat, he is good. He's tweeting like a teenage girl from Houston. He puts the Pluto in Pluto's hat. The country girl, he does huge and do it. He calls the man in the tinfoil hat. So that's a time for losers. He's sitting on the throne.
So look around. Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy. We're Sandy the music today.
Well, that music was Frank Sinatra, and that happened to be JFK's walk-on music when he ran for president. So I thought, you know, that was the theme he looked at, and I think that's the theme we can look at again for the Democratic candidate.
Before we go to the phone lines, we've been talking about the fact that it looks for all the world that Joe Biden is not going to be the person, the candidate for the Democratic Party. It looks for all the world that he may not survive this weekend. This is former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this morning in Politico. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has told some House Democrats she believes President Biden can be persuaded fairly soon to exit the presidential race amid serious doubts he can win in November, according to three Democratic officials familiar with her private discussions. Following Biden's halting debate performance last month in a panic it unleashed among Democrats in and outside Washington, Pelosi has taken a strong behind-the-scenes role in trying to resolve the political crises by playing intermediary for upset rank-and-file Democrats and relaying those messages to the White House. Let's go to Vincent from Lannan. Good morning to you, Vincent. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Sandy. I kind of agree with the last caller. If Joe Biden decides to bow out this particular race, the heir apparent is Vice President Kamala Harris. And so, but in all the polls, it says that Kamala Harris can beat Donald Trump as well. In fact, she gets worse numbers than Joe Biden does, President Joe Biden does. And the fact is if in the convention that Kamala Harris doesn't get the nomination, I guarantee you, you're going to lose a lot of black votes, especially black women votes. The fact is it's going to be more of a, to me, a more of a chaotic process than people believe. And so I just say we just have to wait and see what Joe Biden decides to do. But the point is that if Kamala Harris, if Vice President Kamala Harris is on top of this ticket, then you're going to have problems in this Democratic Party.
Well Vincent, hang on, because I just told Sandy that, you know, if Kamala Harris is not the next person up, black women who vote overwhelmingly and Democrat, that's going to be an issue. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I'm not expert enough to know whether that is the case, but it really depends on how this gets handled and what role Kamala Harris has going forward. I don't think it's true that she loses by a great deal more than Joe Biden any longer in terms of the polls, but what people are looking for is someone who can beat Donald Trump in the polls and can beat him not at the poll in the when people go to the polls, okay? And that's the important issue, and trying to create a situation where there's a greater probability of victory in November. And I think that's what we all have to keep our eye on. I think there's a scenario in which Kamala Harris could be a significant part of the decision, could play a public role in it. And I don't know how this plays out with respect to Kamala's role going forward. I understand that complexity, but I think the risk, there's a risk-benefit ratio that has to be analyzed whenever you're making a decision, and I happen to be of the view that the risk is worth, I mean, the benefit that you might get is worth the risk, you know, because if we stay pat with our hand, we have a bunch of cards in our hand that we don't have pairs, we don't have a high ace, you know, with our poker hand is looking worse and worse.
Vincent, quickly.
Well, I think it's going to be more of a chaos if Vice President Kamala Harris is not put on the top of this ticket. And the fact is that Democrats need to get a backbone and need to fight for this presidency. And we have a lot to crow about. And instead of crowing about what President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris has done over the last 4 years, we're sitting here trying to have a funeral, and so it just doesn't look good, and so that's all I have to say.
Hey Vincent, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Oh, I'm going to repeat the words of the great Roberto Duran: "No mas, no mas." But Sandy, your music is impeccable as always, as Earl's is. But I guess with the possibility of the next RNC being in Venezuela, like I said, on the ham sandwich. But Sandy, you've made a lot of good points this morning, and I think my question to you is, if Kamala is pushed to the top of the ticket, does it undo all the organization that they have set up with the offices in the states where they're looking to pick up votes? How does that work if they change candidates?
Well, I think the election laws are that the person who controls the money, the candidate who had the money, is in a position to redirect it, okay? So that presumably the only way this happens without chaos is if Joe Biden decides that he's going to pull out, that he's going to take the steps necessary to make it most probable that whoever it is that's nominated wins, and that they handle the money in the manner that makes that most probable. And I firmly believe that. I think Joe Biden's got a wonderful character. I just think that he, you know, got blindsided a little bit by his own infirmity. And like I've said before, being someone who's advanced in age myself, I think aging is a process of denial, and I think Joe's been in denial about it, and the people around him were participated in that process. And I think that we've come to the point now where the rest of the American public is making the judgment. It's not Jill. It's not his children. It's not anyone else. And so I think Joe's going to be, when he sees the light about this, is going to be someone who's going to display leadership. And there will be a unified Democratic Party. Joe Biden will be out campaigning for the ticket, and everyone else will be as well. So to me, I think there's a hopeful process here. I don't see this as being something that will necessarily be just a chaotic mess.
Well, like Vincent said, a funeral. You don't see that.
No, I think that when this happens, ultimately, I think it's going to be a very unifying process, and I think the people, including Joe Biden and everyone else, will be marching arm in arm in a manner that will be very significant, and it will grab the public's attention in a manner that will make it very hard for Donald Trump to win a campaign.
Let's go to Cassandra from Madison, Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And hi, Sandy. Always nice to hear from you. I wanted to address, is it Vincent's
yes.
comments? I hope I have his name.
Yes, you're right.
Correctly.
You're right.
Okay. I would just like to offer a differing opinion from Vincent. Perhaps 5 or 6 years ago, if Vincent had made those comments about the Black community withdrawing their support, if a Black official wasn't put at the top of the ticket, I would have said yes. But we are living in very different times, and the Black community, they are being forced to look at their political leadership with a very critical eye, I should say. We have Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago, Eric Adams. We have Tiffany Hinyard. We have all of these Black political leaders.
Cavalier Johnson in Milwaukee. Go ahead.
They are failing. They are failing our communities. And so in my opinion, the vice president, if she does ascend to the top of the ticket, she is going to have to make a strong argument that, number one, she is going to actually deliver for the Black community. And number two, her administration will be clean and transparent. And she's going to have to bring in some new people. She cannot bring in the Obama and Clinton crowd anymore. There has to be a closing of the books from those people, because a lot of them, they do politics in a different way, and it has not been very beneficial to the Black community. So that's all I will say.
So I have to challenge a couple of things you said, Cassandra. You know, to say that Blacks who are now in those positions of mayor in many of the cities that are predominantly Black now are failing the communities. The communities were in shambles before they got into those positions. And to think that because there's a Black face in those offices, they're going to change the dynamic and reality of what has happened to Black people in those communities for decades is unrealistic. And I'd also say, that when we talk about it from the perspective of somehow once a Black person gets in that position, they're somehow going to be able to change the realities of what is happening in those communities solely because they're Black and have Black faces is unrealistic.
Well, also the data would show that there are improvements. The crime rate, particularly the violent crime rate in Milwaukee and in all the other cities that were discussed, has gone down markedly. Okay. It's not at all clear that the leadership in those communities had nothing to do with that. So that's something that can happen in the near term. It takes longer than months or a couple of years to change something that's embedded in a place in terms of socio-demographic problems?
Cassandra, you can respond.
Earl and Sandy, I have to say I disagree. We are living in a very different time right now. And because of the economy and people are hurting, they are just tired of excuses. And whether you believe it's fair or not, that the Black political leadership have to, you know, take the blame for some of these social problems, I believe they do. But whether you feel that it's fair or not, it is happening. There is a new phase of accountability in the Black community.
Well, Cassandra, I guess what I would push back is they were hurting before the Black people got in office. Would you attest to that?
I would agree to that.
Go ahead. Okay, so you can't agree to that and then say that they haven't done what's necessary to fix what has happened before they even got in office.
Earl, they have continued the same policies as before. They haven't changed any of the policies, such as school, housing. There has not been any fundamental change put into place. That's where the fault is.
Well,
now, I know you don't agree with me, but this is the opinion of someone on the ground.
Well, I'm on the ground as well. I've been on the ground for 70 years, and I can tell you. So are you suggesting that maybe it's because of Democratic policies and that somehow a Republican can do better? Oops, there goes a
billion kilowatt. I think it's time for a change, Earl. The Democratic community, the Democratic Party, they've had their chance. And for better or worse, it's time for a change.
I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the thoughts, Cassandra. 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open as always. Hang on the phone lines. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Just the stuff that's related to what's going on. It's about the presidential election and the importance of it and the changes that are obviously forthcoming.
You wanted to respond to the conversation Cassandra and I had.
Cassandra said there's a need for a change, and I think this show has been all about a discussion of that. We need to get away from talking about personalities. Politicians today want to talk about personalities. They want to talk about social issues, but not about fundamental policy issues. And the thing that's going to change the condition in cities is all about fundamental policy issues. And if the mayors of these cities had it within the realm of their power to make the changes in policy that were necessary, they might be able to do things. But the fact is, many of the problems exist within the cities, and most of the solutions to those problems lie without the cities in terms of where money is aimed. One of the fundamental problems with cities is their historic boundaries. You know, the municipal boundaries are drawn in a manner which has increasingly become something like a moat between troubled urban area and the rest of society. So yeah, I think a change is necessary, but it has to do with what we pay attention to. And I think that the Democratic Party has attempted to pay more attention to that than the Republican Party. When the Republican Party starts talking about policy, none of those policies that I've seen, particularly in Project 2025, where they're all enumerated, have anything whatsoever to do with solving urban problems.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, the whole Democratic ticket thing is going to take care of itself, so I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to talk about deep declining Donald last night because the guy is out of it.
Well, so, Tom, we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his and him and all of that later on. I mean, your thoughts about what we're talking about now with, you know, with Biden. I think it's important that we stay on that topic, and then we'll deal with the Trump thing afterwards.
Okay. What I will talk about is that, like I said, this thing is going to take care of itself. I think the problem that some people have is when they hear words like Nancy Pelosi is trying to convince Joe Biden to step out of the race. No, stop it. Nancy Pelosi may be talking to Joe Biden about stepping out of the race, but stop making it sound like we're trying to push him out of the race. It's his decision, ultimately. I know you're saying about the funders and all that kind of stuff, but don't make it sound like we're trying to push him out of the race. That's what I think gets people's ire up. And the thing about it is, just to reply to Cassandra, have you ever heard of Wes Moore? I mean, come on, start taking people as individuals, not as black people, white people. Wes Moore is an incredible governor from Maryland. And one of the other things is people remember this. When a Democratic president is in the office, he is the president for the whole United States. He actually, Joe Biden has actually given money to the red states so they can actually have a manufacturing base, so they can actually have some industry there. When Donald Trump was president, if something happened in a blue state, he didn't give them any type of funding or help. Please remember this. This is about policy.
Tom,
this is about how it is that we go forward as a country.
Tom, let me ask you, you know, when Nancy Pelosi was the speaker, nobody, for the most part, ever pushed back against Nancy Pelosi that were Democrats. She was canonized. Why now, all of a sudden, is it that when Nancy Pelosi speaks now and what she says, people now want to kind of dismiss what she's saying when it comes to this issue? Why?
Because, A, I think Joe Biden is more than competent to do this job. I just think that we're living in a television world, and the thing is, he's not able to come across and maybe win the election because of some of the other issues that he's having visually. But I do think he's competent enough.
Last thing for me, Tom, do you think that Nancy Pelosi, of all people, who has been intertwined with Joe Biden for 40 years, is somehow seeing this thing differently, and with a jaundiced eye?
Well, let me just intervene here. I think what Tom was saying was that it was cosmetics in terms of how we discuss it, and whether Nancy's pushing him out or whether she's simply talking to Joe and he will make his own decision. That's a nuance, but I think it's obviously true that Joe Biden is going to make his own decision. And there isn't any legal means to actually force him out, okay? So the only way Joe Biden's not going to run is if he decides not to run for his own good reasons. I just think that there might be plenty of good reasons for him to make that decision, and I trust that he will. And so, therefore, I think cosmetically it is different. Joe Biden's going to do the right thing, and I think that the real issue is not what Joe Biden has done. He's done a lot of remarkably good things, and I think someone who runs for office on his record is going to have a good record to run on, and is going to be able to explain away the non sequitur comments about inflation, which was international, or oil prices or gas prices.
Sandy, the operative word is, you said somebody.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, I think you have to look forward and realize that once somebody gets anointed, that somebody is going to be a name that's on everyone's lips. There's going to be a great deal of attention paid to them. It's not only going to be negative attention, it's going to be the kind of attention that a candidate wants. And I think that the problem Joe Biden has is that when we elect a president, we're electing them for the next 4 years, not for the last 4 years. And that's the problem he's stumbling over. And so I think it's going to be decided in the right way.
Tom, quickly. Okay, Tom's gone. You know, Sandy, I get it, that this thing about letting him make the decision himself, I think we're at a point where we're beyond that, and all the tea leaves say We don't have time to wait for him to make the decision.
Well, from a legal standpoint, ultimately, it's got to come out of his mouth.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, what kind of reality is presented to him that maybe makes him make the decision?
All right, 844-967-2789. Guys, hang on the lines. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.